Amen. Well, saints, it's very good to be with you again. Quite a few Percy Quins, and now we've got a couple of Jacksons. And this surely is a wonderful provision by the Lord.
Amen.
This building and this meeting place. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Shows that the Lord is still hopeful concerning his recovery.
Amen.
In this conference, we were here 6 months ago, and we had a conference on life and service for the building up of the body of Christ. And after much consideration and prayer, we felt to continue on that line this time with an additional word concerning life and service. As we will conclude the conference, both something on the negative side and something on the very positive side. The outlines for this conference are short. I am capable of writing longer ones, but I don't feel to do so. I feel more concerned that the burden would get across and not be lost through a multitude of points. If you understand what I'm saying, I have no problem with big outlines, but for this weekend, they're small. And I wanted in each meeting for us to read the word, and we have certain hymns that we have selected that are very much to the point. The hymn that we sang tonight, Brother Lee really appreciates the particular hymn that we sang tonight. Must I go an empty-handed? Of course, this points to meeting the Lord at the judgment seat. And Brother Lee said that a number of songs that we have kind of inherited from Christianity are very touching. And this one is perhaps one of the most touching hymns. I think as we sang it, we were all touched by this hymn, which I believe was the aspiration of someone who was dying and was just recently saved and regretted that she was not able to do more for the Lord in the area of service. And so a man who was there with her, a brother in the Lord, said that he would write a hymn on her behalf, which perhaps would help others to get into the burden of serving the Lord under the light of meeting the Lord. And so that is the hymn that came out. I know personally that when I returned home from Jackson in April, 6 months ago, that I was very much in the spirit of the gospel, and I still am. And I got into many of the hymns in our hymn book, both ones written by the brothers and ones that were written by others. And that is a wonderful way, dear saints, to get yourself infused with the spirit of the gospel, which we so desperately need today. Well, Brother Fred had us read the overall title and the title of this message, which is on the judgment seat of Christ being a major factor in our living and in our service. You know, saints, I would start off by saying this, that the Lord is wise, right? He knows us. There's a verse in the Gospels where it said the Lord would not entrust himself to men because he knows what is in man. A man is not that trustworthy, at least the fallen man. And even I would have to say that even those of us that have been saved, how trustworthy we are to the Lord, only He knows. And I think the Lord, because He knows us, He realized that we might grow slack in such wonderful and positive things like eating, drinking, and breathing, right? For our growth, right? For our transformation, and for our building. These are all positive things. Am I right? But, you know, the Lord was and is afraid that if it's just left up to us to eat and drink and breathe and day by day be transformed for the building up of the body of Christ, that we might slack off. I hope you're following me. And this is not my word, it's Brother Lee's word. That we would slack off, that, you know, we would relax and we would not run the race. You know, the Christian life Paul described in Hebrews is like a race that we're running. And in a race, you don't slack off. You keep running. And so in the Lord's wisdom, the Lord places before us the saints the prospect of reward or punishment during the kingdom age. This becomes a big incentive, a big factor, that if we realize that this is coming, this judgment seat, that it would urge us not to slack off, because we realize that it is a matter of reward or punishment, surely in the area of our serving of the Lord. The Lord is wise, right? So we have this matter of the kingdom, and the reward or punishment that will be meted out at the judgment seat, determining who will participate in the kingdom in either a positive or a not so positive way. I hope you're following me. This matter of the judgment seat, we don't talk about it that much. Right? Am I right? We don't. And we should. You know, I'm not a great speaker, but I'm here by the invitation of the brothers. And I do have a burden to talk about this one particular point in message number one. Right? And this, of course, saints, is mainly related, as I said a moment ago, to our service. And our service, be clear, that comes out of our life. Our service, and we will emphasize this tomorrow in both meetings, tomorrow morning, service comes out of life. But nonetheless, we will be evaluated on our service that should, at least, come out of life. We emphasized very much the last time the aspect of service, the seriousness, and those quotes that I read to you. Some of them are still ringing in my ears. I don't know about you, I doubt it. But for me, at least, because not only did I compose the outlines and prepare them and speak them, I'm the first one listening to them. Right? So the impression is still very much with me how desperate Brother Lee was during the last 12 years of his life. Concerning, and we'll get into this more tomorrow, but let me simply put it this way, concerning the vitality of the Lord's recovery. Amen. The vitality, that means life, by the way. We'll get into it more. Well, regarding the judgment, of Christ, as I said, it's a matter of reward or punishment. Saints, in our life as a Christian, it's like we're on a train and there are a certain number of stations that the train stops at. And one of the stations is when we get regenerated. Am I right? And perhaps the next station is when we come into the Lord's recovery. And we begin to realize that Christ is our food. He is our drink. He is the air that we breathe. But that he has, according to this, a purpose. It's not just me, myself, and I, you know, in the sweet by and by. It is a purpose to our enjoyment of Christ, right? And this all transpires in our years in the Lord's recovery. But the next train stop is the judgment seat. Y'all have to realize that. Whether you die or whether you're still alive when the Lord begins to come back, the next thing in our life, we should be clear about this. The next thing is the judgment seat. And you need to let that soak in. The next thing, next train stop, and we don't know how close we are to that train stop. You look at the situation in this country and you might think, wow, it's pretty close. So, tonight's message is sober. It's sober, right? I hope you can take it. Roman numeral 1 says, we will all be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And in another verse, it talks about the judgment seat of God. Christ is God. This judgment seat is a certainty. It's not a myth. It is a certainty. And we must live under this light. We should live under this light, right? This should be a light that we're living under day after day after day. This should be an inner realization in us, right? That we are going to be judged, evaluated, use whatever word you want to use, at the judgment seat of Christ. But I felt, to follow Brother Lee, that we need to be clear concerning the judgments in the New Testament. And I, if we were to converse with one another here tonight, I believe there might be some confusion regarding the judgment in the New Testament. You know, you've got the great white throne, you've got the judgment seat of Christ, you know, you've got the throne in Jerusalem, you know, you've got a lot of judgments going on. And we may not be that clear, and we should be. So you've got your further readings for each message. If you're serious, I'm so glad to see so many are here tonight. We still have the old empty seats, but percentage-wise, it's pretty good. Thank the Lord. There are five judgments in the New Testament. We should be clear about them. And in all of these judgments, God is righteous. The first judgment is the Lord Jesus himself being judged on the cross by God as our substitute, right? The Lord Jesus was our substitute. We should have been judged, right? We have a hymn that says, you know, thine the cup of suffering, mine the cup of blessing. Really, you know, legally, it should have been us drinking that cup of wrath. But the Lord drank that cup. The Lord took the judgment on the cross as our substitute. Right? This is a fact. And we need to put ourselves under this death or in this death daily. We need to pray ourselves into the mingled spirit, where death and resurrection and all of the good things are, right? We need to put ourselves under the death of Christ, in the death of Christ, to use our terminology from the conference we had on the New Jerusalem. We need to stay in the oyster. We need to stay in the wound in the oyster. What a picture that is of our being conformed to the Lord's death. Living a crucified life by the power of the Lord's resurrection. And of course, in the oyster, that's the secretion. The secretion is the spirit, and that secretion keeps the grain of sand in the wound. Well, Paul lived this way all the time, right? Which is why he could say what he said in 2 Timothy about being at the end of his course and knowing that a crown of righteousness waited for him. Am I right?
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, right? This is Paul's statement. This is Paul's daily experience. I am crucified. I am crucified. I'm under, in, under, whatever word you want to use, the death of Christ.
Amen.
Saints, that's a safe place. It's a wonderful place. We all need to be there.
Amen.
Paul says, don't you know, Romans, in Romans chapter 6, that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death.
Amen.
Death is a safe place.
Amen.
We need to be in a safe place.
Amen.
And the Lord's death, dear saints, is a safe place. Of course, we also enjoy his resurrection, but if no death, no life. So this is the first judgment. That is the Lord Jesus being judged on the cross. But you know, saints, the Christian story, as Brother Lee said in one place, is a wonderful story, he said. It has its objective historical side, and it has its subjective daily side, right? The objective side is Christ on the cross bearing our punishment, you could say, right? Being judged on our behalf. But there is a subjective side to the judgment. And that is in point number two. And I'm very much burdened for point two. Point two precedes point three. Point three is on the judgment seat of Christ, right? Point two is on judgment beginning in the house of God. Now, where are you tonight, dear saints? What house are you in? See, everybody loves their face, whether it's the training or whether it's conferences. Nobody, you know, they think real fast. If I say this, it might be wrong. If I say that, it might be right, but it might be wrong. So we don't say anything. Are you the house of God?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was getting at, right? And in point two, we have the judgment as the house of God, it says, the believers being judged by God in the church age. And saints, as I, you know, was musing on these words, I realized that our burden in this message is on the judgment seat of Christ, but I realized how critical it is, the judgment going on right now in the house of God. The judgment in the house of God, if you're under it and if you take it properly, will prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. This is not a small point. I should have had a bigger title for this message. But anyway, Peter, the verses, 1 Peter 4:17, he said, in time. Of course, Peter wrote that a long time ago. But if it was time then, it surely is time now. It is time. That, what is it's time? That means today. It is time. That means he's talking about today. Today. It is time for judgment to begin at the house of God, which is the church. We realize this in 1 Timothy 3:15. It talks about the church is the house of the living God, right? That's what the church is. And Peter says that judgment for saints should begin at the house of God. And Brotherly called this particular aspect judgment, this second, as family judgment. This is family judgment. Are you the family?
Yeah.
You like to eat and you like to drink and you like to breathe and you like to be transformed, right? How about being judged? I tell you, saints, I'm not joking. We need to say a strong amen.
Amen.
It's not just you feed Billy, the food and, you know, the things that he likes, and he exercises and grows up as a strong boy physically, but Billy needs this every so often. And I may be politically incorrect, you know, in doing this, but anyway, the fact of the matter is that once in a while, Billy needs this. And that is as much of a part of the whole matter as the eating and the drinking. There's always two sides of everything. This judgment is not for perdition. The house of God judgment, the family judgment. No, we're already saved. Are you saved?
Yes.
I tell you, not even, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No one can take you out of the Lord's hand. No, this judgment is not related to your eternal status. But it brotherly used this word, correction. Correction. I'd just like to say a little word on this word, correction. You know, a lot of the judgment in the house of God is correction. My field is Latin, very useful in this day and age. That tells you something about, you know, academics. But anyway, that's my field, Latin. And I can tell you that the word that we get correction from means this. To put straight and to bring into order. That means that it's very easy for us to get crooked. Am I right? To get crooked and to be out of order. Saints, you like that sometime? Crooked? I just had the sevenfold intensified spirit, you know, checking with me the other day about, you know, I was discussing something with somebody and just, you know, that was this, you know, correctus. Correctus. correcting, making straight. Sometimes we're out of order. Am I right? We're out of order with our spouse. We're out of order. Sometimes we're out of order with the Lord. We need to be corrected, saints. And now's the time to be corrected. At the judgment seat, correction is over. You'll have another kind of correction, and it won't be pleasant. Right? This correction, this family judgment, is with the hope. It's still today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can be on the straight way. I got off, but Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm out of order, but Lord, thank you. That's right. I need some correction in my throat. This happens to me when I speak. So saints, don't come to these meetings as a spectator. Please come as an active participant.
Amen.
Praying for every aspect of these meetings.
Amen.
From speaking to listening to making the recordings in the room. Don't want the enemy to come in any way.
Amen.
Saints, we desperately need the number two judgment or the number three judgment. The number two judgment is right now, when there's still time to go. Still time to go. Take it today. Take the correction. Take whatever kind of discipline that the Lord would want to give you. I think you know what I'm talking about. We like to postpone, sweep under the rug, but saints, let the Lord deal with us today.
Amen.
We desperately need it. We will not allow our children, right, in the flesh to be loose or to be wrong. And the Father is the same. I probably don't have the time to read, but I'd like to give you the reference. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. I'll just read you a little bit of it. It talks about discipline. That's another word for judgment or correction. Discipline. Saints, we just want a pat on the back. All the time, just a pat on the back. Negative. I just want a pat on the back. That's not the way it is. You know, these verses start off, I won't read the whole thing. And you have completely forgotten the exhortation, which reasons with you as with sons. This is Hebrews 12. Verse 5, it reasons with you as sons, saying, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. This is the Lord's attitude. He's the best father. Am I right? The Lord is the best father. Not only does he give us the eating and the drinking and the breathing and the positive things, but he gives us the discipline. Because he knows that train stop. And his heart is for you. His heart is good toward you. For the judgment seat.
Amen.
He knows. Well, saints, I've got to go on, but I'm really touched with this matter of today, right? Now is the time for judgment to begin at the house of God.
Amen.
Then number three is really our subject. The believers being judged at the judgment seat of Christ at his coming back. This determines our destiny in the millennium, the 1,000 years, whether we will have reward, enter the kingdom, and enjoy the blessings of eternal life, or we will suffer some kind of punishment, discipline, chastening, use whatever word you want, right? So the judgment seat of Christ, dear saints, again, we'll see this, nothing to do with your salvation. That is past. You would not be in front of the judgment seat of Christ if you were not saved. Only saved ones appear there. So we'll all be there. You know, we have that song, we'll all be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. You know, I think they were talking about heaven. But, you know, we ought to have a verse on the judgment seat.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. We'll all be there. Lord, have mercy on us. Then judgment number four. You know, Christ is called the judge of the living and the dead. And before the millennium, after the great tribulation, we have judgment number four. The living being judged at Christ's throne of glory in Jerusalem before the millennium and after the great tribulation. After the defeat of the Antichrist and after that, many Gentiles will still be alive. I got something stuck on me. It was a bug. You really need to pray. A lot of people will be alive, and they will not be believers. They will be the nations, Gentiles. They will make it through the great tribulation. And their destiny will be determined according to how they responded to what the book of Revelation calls the eternal gospel, which basically fear God. During the time that Antichrist is operating and poo-pooing the idea of God, you know, these ones hearken to the eternal gospel preached by an angel in mid-heaven. Don't ask me how that's going to practically come out, but it'll happen. They will hearken to that preaching, and they will fear God, and their fear of God will be demonstrated in how they treat the persecuted Christians and the believing Jews. Those that do not hearken to the eternal gospel will not good. The Lord gave a parable where he talked about the sheep and the goats, right? The sheep will enter into the kingdom, not like we hope to, but as the nations in the kingdom. I don't have the time to elaborate. You know, the kingdom and in New Jerusalem, there'll be the New Jerusalem, there'll be the kingdom, then there'll be the nations, right? They will enjoy the restoration that Isaiah talked about, but they will not have God's life in there. The sheep are the ones that hearkened to the eternal gospel. So the Lord will transfer them into the kingdom where they will be under the ruling of Christ and the overcoming saints. The goats, those that go along with Antichrist's agenda, go along with the persecution, right? Just flow with that tide of degradation. They will be cast directly into the lake of fire. If that doesn't sound politically correct to you, you take it up with the Lord. He is the Lord, and that is what he says. So the Lord will do that judging at Jerusalem. The sheep will be the nations under Christ and the overcomers, and the goats will go to the lake of fire. Right? As believers, we are not involved in that at all. Are you clear? We are not involved. Our judgment will be the judgment seat of Christ. As far as the end of the age is concerned, but the judgment at the house of God is going on right now. And that's the one you need to embrace. Okay, he's the judge. And then point five, he's also the judge of the dead. Five says the dead unbelievers being judged by Christ at the great white throne after the millennium. The living are judged before, the dead are judged after. You wonder, how is the Lord going to do that? I don't know, but he is the Lord. And he'll have the way to probably real quick and effective. Christ is the judge of the living and the dead. The unbelievers, our brother shared, with their evil deeds, their unbelief, and their not being written in the book of life, they will be the ones that are judged at the great white throne. I would like to read a concluding quote concerning these judgments from the Truth Lessons. And this is part of your suggested reading if you care to get into detail. If I were you, I would care to. Brother Lee says this, three of the five judgments in the New Testament are concerned with the believers. Are you clear? Amen. Hallelujah. Christ was our substitute.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
And now today, judgment must begin at the house of God.
Amen.
That's the church. And we, the believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Three of the five involve us as believers. Objectively, we should live under the Lord's death, right? That should be the fact within us. I have been crucified. Right? I died.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a fact. But then we need the subjective, right? We need the subjective side, which is the judgment in the house of God. As believers, we have already been judged eternally, for we were judged in Christ on the cross. Just as Noah and his family were judged by the flood, but were inside the ark, so we have been judged by God on the cross in Christ.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Furthermore, since we are saved and have become members of God's family, now we are under God's family judgment.
Amen.
Following me? God is judging his own house. He's going to judge everybody, but he starts with his own house. And we are members of his family. Every day we need to realize that we are under this judgment, saints, every day. a judgment that is not for perdition or salvation, but for correction and transformation. Lord, correct us. Maybe in that transformation hymn, we need another verse. Lord, correct us.
Amen.
In your house, in emotion, mind, will. Hallelujah. We need to be corrected and transformation. We need this judgment. Then finally, we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ in the air. This judgment will determine our destiny in the millennium. Should be a light over your heads. It will decide whether we will be rewarded to enter into the kingdom in order to enjoy the blessing of eternal life, or we will suffer some kind of punishment in the coming age. So, saints, it's either correction now or correction later. And Brotherly always said the price goes up. If you don't do it now, he said the price will go up. I don't know exactly what he means, but it sounds like we better pay now. Therefore, as believers, we are involved with three judgments: the judgment on the cross, the judgment in his house, and the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. In all his judgments, the Lord is righteous. He is wise and just, and he will not allow his people to be loose or wrong. Formerly, we were sinners, but now we have become God's children. Saints, have you really seen that? You're God's children. You've been born of God. As God's children, we are not free to do things in a loose way. Like the end of Judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. No, 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 no. God is very strict with his people. He exercises his family judgment in his house, according to his will, to correct us so that we may grow and experience more transformation, so that we could be built up and the Lord's purpose will be reached, I could add. Eventually, at the Lord's coming back, he will judge us to decide whether we will receive a reward or punishment in the coming age. This judgment will take place after our rapture. Well, saints, for time's sake, I need to move on, but I hope we're all impressed and that we're all cleared up a little bit regarding judgment in the New Testament.
Amen.
We're very much involved with three of them. Now, we come to point B. This truth, that means the judgment seat of Christ, this is a truth, has been almost completely hidden from the saints over the centuries. You know, it's like the New Jerusalem. You know, when I read this, I was thinking, that's just like Jerusalem. You know, people just don't consider it. They don't ask questions about it. And therefore, they remain unclear, fuzzy about the judgment seat of Christ, fuzzy about the New Jerusalem. We don't want to be fuzzy about anything. Point one, this judgment has nothing to do with a believer's salvation. John 10, 28 and 29 says that we have been given eternal life and no one will snatch us out of the Lord's hand. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. Hallelujah. We're the unsnatchables. We're in his hand. But there is confusion here in Christianity. They are not clear, I say again, regarding this matter of reward and punishment in the kingdom. Point two, very important point. The Lord will judge the believers living before the Lord and their work, their service for him after they have been saved. You get that? That's what the judgment seat of Christ will be all about. It's how you lived your life after you were saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Saints, are you all clear about this? It has to do with the deeds done in your body. As 2 Corinthians says, whether good or bad, meaning useless, will be evaluated in their body. In that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10, means in this life. You know, it's in this life that we have this body, right? Right? After we're glorified, we'll have a resurrection body. But, you know, in this body, the deeds done in this body, the Lord will judge. Good, if they're good, you'll have praise from God, as that one verse in 1 Corinthians 4 said. If you're bad, you're not going to be praised, that's for sure. This is not, you know, the Roman Catholic Church muddles this. And, you know, they look at the judgment seat of Christ. And out of that, they get salvation by works. Right? The deeds done in your body. In other words, those deeds done in your body are good enough to get you saved, in their view. If you're not following me, that's okay. What I want you to be impressed with is the Lord will be interested in how we lived our life after we got saved. Are you all clear about that? That means right now. We're writing that book right now. The Lord is going to repay according to our doings after we were saved. Matthew 25, 19. It's the believers, right? The slaves are the believers that the master will come back to reckon with them. How did you live your life after you were saved? He will evaluate. In Luke 19, I think we read that. Didn't Luke 19 is similar to Matthew 25. He comes back to evaluate their trading of the talents that he gave. And those that were faithful, they will receive the kingdom. And this happens after the Lord has received the kingdom, this judgment, right? Point three, after the rapture and in the air, this judgment will happen. I keep repeating this. You know, repetition is penetration. You know, one brother in London, you know, in the training there, he said that repetition is penetration. That's right. You know, the disciples, they weren't too smart. So what did the Lord do? Sweep them out, get a new batch. Nope. Repeat it. Eventually, they got it. Then what did brother do with us? Repeated. We were worse than the disciples. And eventually, I hope we got something. This will happen, thanks. It will determine a believer's destiny in the millennial kingdom, either well done or out of darkness. Which would you choose? Yeah. Authority over 10 cities. Authority over 5 cities, right? That sounds wonderful. We will, or the Lord, I'm sorry, will repay each man according to his doings, according to Matthew 16:27. We will stand before Christ, point four, to give an account of our living and work. It will be a reckoning, a calculation. There will be some details there. He will settle accounts with us. This is sobering. And we need to be serious about it. Saints, don't play the Christian life. Don't play the church life. We need to be serious.
Amen.
And this matter will make us serious if we live under its light. We will be examined by the Lord, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and manifest the counsels of the heart, that praise may be to each one from God. The Lord said, don't judge anything before the time until he comes. Then point six, how we need God's family judgment today for correction, for our growth and our transformation. Now, not later. Discipline now, not discipline later. I sound like a broken record. Tomorrow morning, we'll go on to something else, but while I have the opportunity, amen. Then point C, saints. Many Christians claim that as long as they are saved, and maybe you were one of them, maybe you are one. As long as we are saved, there will be no problem in the future judgment. A lot of Christians have that thought. The sweet by and by, you know, in the sweet by and by, you know. And they're going to go through the pearly gates, you know, open to them by redemption. And that's the end of the story. You know, they'll live happily ever after inside the pearly gates. Yeah. What about what the Lord said at the judgment seat? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what I'd like to know. What about that? What does that mean? That means that everything is not hunky-dory for every Christian. That's what that means. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, that doesn't sound good. And Brother Lee said, this indicates deep regret and self-blame. Oh! Yeah, I had the opportunity. I had years, like that hymn said. Oh, the years. But I didn't. I didn't. Oh, I could have. I should have. But I didn't. Yeah. Saints, this is very, very serious. Point one, we need to pay close attention to 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Fred had us read these verses. A Christian can, quote, suffer loss. That doesn't go along with the pearly gates theory, right? A Christian can suffer loss in verse 15 if his work during this life is burned. B, this is not the loss of salvation, we repeat, because Paul says of the man whose work is burned that he himself shall be saved. Right?
Right?
This is a brother. He will be saved, but his work will be burned. What he did in his life will go up in smoke. But he will be saved as through fire, little C says. There will be some sort of punishment, and it will not be pleasant. We're not talking about purgatory here, where you pay money to reduce the time. The only good that did is made that institutional church very wealthy. We must be careful today, dear saints. No details regarding this fire, but for sure it is something unpleasant. You know, I think we're going to touch this in a future outline during this conference, but you know, we have the opportunity today. And at the judgment seat, it'll be too late regarding service. And part of the, Brother Lee made a very interesting statement. He says, part of the punishment will be the realization that I have no more opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? That's part of the punishment. No more opportunity. Today, we have opportunity. Amen. Well, we'll get into this. Oh, especially the Lord's Day morning, saints. We have opportunity. It's incumbent upon us to seize the opportunity. So we must be careful today. It surely, we don't have the details, but it doesn't sound good. Fire never sounds good. Point D, we must be careful and faithful in our slave status, especially. For when the Lord returns, he will require of us a full account of our living and work. Again, the word reckon is used. In Luke 19, the Lord came back and wanted to know what the saints had gained in doing business for him. You know, if any of you have worked for a nickel-squeezing employer, you know, you realize how strict in regard to profit, you know, a master can be. What did you gain doing business for me? I gave you the talent. What did you do with it? How did you use the spiritual gift that I gave you? Right? You know, in the parable in Matthew 25, the first one, we have the Spirit, right, within us, right, the indwelling Spirit. In the second parable, we have the spiritual gifts. And the Lord will check with us, how did you use the gift? And don't say you don't have. Don't use that excuse. That really won't fly. Because in that parable, it's clear. Some had five, some had two, and some probably most had one. And the problem was with the one, with the one. Oh, Lord, how did we use our spiritual gift? And I think last April, saints, I mean, what kind of profit does the God of the universe want? Does he want us to make more money for him? No. He wants people. That's the prophet. Amen. He wants people. Yeah. People. People. We're dealing with people. Unsaved, I would say especially. but not exclusively, already saved. We're dealing with people, 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 people. We have spiritual gifts for people. The prophet is people. The house that God is building needs people, material. The material are living stones, people. This is what the Lord is going to check with us. Saints, if we really saw this, we wouldn't love our faith quite so much. He may say, point C, I gave you a certain gift. What have you done for me? What have you accomplished for me since you were saved? What kind of building work have you done? Have you built with wood, hay, and stubble? Or with gold, silver, and precious stones? Two, if our work remains, we shall receive a positive reward. Brother Lee called it the blessings of eternal life in the kingdom. My, that will be, I mean, the restoration will be wonderful for the creation, but the blessings in the kingdom for the saved will be just off the chart. So point three says to be saved is one thing. To receive a positive reward from the Lord for your work is another thing. And to suffer loss for your improper work is still another thing. Saints, we need to enjoy, right? We need to enjoy. That's on the positive side. Everybody says, amen. When I say we need to enjoy, everybody says, amen. Right? We need to enjoy. That's on the positive side. On the not so positive side, we need to be corrected. Good. Another amen. Yeah, after this message. I think if I were to ask you in the beginning, you would have corrected. Corrected. That's the loving Father. You know, saints, Satan, I came to realize this very sharply quite a number of years ago. Satan's strategy with Christians, and I was in, you know, Christianity, you know, my whole life. I was of the Baptist variety. And, you know, it seemed to me as I looked at the situation with Christians, they were looking back at when they were saved, right? Some of them walked the sawdust trail. You young people wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, they look back to when they were saved. They look forward to going to heaven. What is missing today? I'm not joking. Think about it. Think about it. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, I've got saved. I got my ticket to heaven. And one day I'm going to present my ticket. What's missing today? Think about this. There's no today. But now, dear saints, according to 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. And Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. Now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. What kind of salvation? For us. Not from perdition. It's the day of God's organic salvation. Hallelujah. Which includes regeneration, right? Sanctification, renewing, right? Transformation with ingredients, right? Brother Lee at one point included building. You know, building has ingredients. Hey, brother. your stone is crooked. You're crooked. Yeah, this correction. Now's the time, saints. Not only to enjoy on the positive side, but to be corrected by our loving Father here in the house of God. D, we need to be those under the light of the judgment seat, loving the Lord's appearing, and eventually receiving a crown of righteousness from the righteous judge. Paul fought the fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and he was one who loved the Lord's appearing. Paul could be very confident that a crown of righteousness waited for him. I don't think anyone in this room is that confident. Right. But I, you know, Paul loved the Lord's appearing, right? If you love, if you love a person, you know, coming, showing up, that means you must love that person. Saints, we need to love the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to love the Lord. And don't be afraid of being excessive about it. We need to love the Lord. We need to love the Lord's appearing, but we need to love with discernment. As Paul said in one of his letters, on Brother Lee's wall, I had the privilege of helping Brother Lee with some lines in the life study. And in his study on Ball Road, he had this big quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He shall be saved, yet so as through fire. That brother B that was always telling us to eat and drink and, you know, that Brother Lee had that quote on his wall. That spoke to me. We need to receive the correction, the family judgment today, I'm concluding, and not put it off. This is like our children's growth to physical maturity. We feed them, we cherish them, but we correct them. Every son that the Lord receives, that verse says, every son. Are you a son?
Yes.
Sisters, are you a son?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Every son the Lord receives, he chastens, he corrects, he disciplines. So saints, we need to see the vision of what God is doing and what God is about to do, including the judgment seat. And then we need to love him and we need to love his appearing.
Amen.
I would say that if we have such a vision and such a loving of the Lord, we would surely be open to him for his family judgment today. To conclude, I'd like to read, if I can find it here, Brother Nee, his hymn. Isn't that something? You've got all the other pages here, and the one that you want can't find, but I found. That is number 626, verse 4. We're familiar with this, but experientially, I'm not so sure. But verse 4 says this. This is an attitude that Brother Nee had. If thy mind and mine should differ, still pursue thy way. If thy pleasure means my sorrow, still my heart shall answer yes. 'Tis my deep desire to please thee, though I suffer loss, e'en though thy delight and glory mean that I endure the cross. And then the chorus, each blow I suffer, listen, is true gain to me. Because in the place of what thou takest, thou dost give thyself to me. Gain more Christ today, and we'll have the kingdom reward in the future. Saints, I'm finished. Brothers, what Fred is going to tell us what to do.